I'd like to meditate this morning on the words of St. Paul, as these are recorded in the second chapter of his letter to the Colossians, reading from verses 6 to 10. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In the name of our Savior, dear Christian friends. As one views these days in the history of Concordia Seminary, all of us are, of course, very deeply and even painfully aware of the tremendous and the radical changes that are taking place in our administration. It was indeed a very historic event when President Bowman spoke from this pulpit as our seminary president, and we do hope that he will occupy the pulpit frequently as our synod president. But these are moments and events that document an end of an era, and of course very significantly remind us that we, as we are living in the present, are always moving into the future. And that as we have left the present for the future, we have recorded also the past. And so the past in this sequence of a constantly flowing time becomes equally important, so that we might know where we came from, where we are today, and where we will be going tomorrow. Now, in addition to these very significant events that are in the process of taking place, we should in a very special way call your attention today, since this day, September 24th, marks the 100th anniversary of the death of one of the three founders of Concordia Seminary, the Reverend Theodore Julius Sproul. Now, you see out there in the Founders Hall section, one of the center buildings marked Sproul Hall. And all too often, we look at that and we wonder what kind of Sproul that building was named after. And I think that as we very briefly take a look at the contributions that this man made, I think that we will notice that there is a very distinctive person who comes before our eyes. The three founders, and we're excluding C.F.W. Walter, the first president of this institution, John F. Binger, Ottmar Fierbringer, and Theodore Sproul. A very interesting triumvirate. Ottmar Fierbringer has often been referred to as one of the deepest thinkers of all the first generation Lutheran clergymen of the Missouri Synod. And it really does not take anyone's imagination to see these three men who have pooled their final financial resources and have purchased several acres of land down in Dresden, Perry County. And there they started to fell trees in order to build a log cabin, a replica of which stands on our campus. But very shortly, these three founders became diversified in their activities. Binger began digging the well, which incidentally still spews forth living water today. Ottmar Fuhrbringer, after he had taken a few cuts at a heavy trunk of a tree with his axe, began to look at his fingers, and he decided that it probably was quite a bit easier to sit and to meditate and to philosophize. So while Binger was digging his well, Fuhrbringer was sitting on the log watching the action, and poor Brome, the third founder, continued to work rather slavishly in order to get those logs cut and to hone into place and to construct the log cabin. These men then began the duty of teaching, and they did so with their personal and physical investments, their financial investments, and those who sat at their feet did not even pay them any salary. They served without any remuneration. Quite a comedown, isn't it, for a graduate of the University of Leipzig, a man who really didn't have too many resources of his own. You see, his mother died when he was 3, and his father died when he was only 17 years old. And yet, he continued his studies, and after his graduation, he became one of the secretaries of the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church of Dresden, Saxony, who later was to lead the immigrants out of their homeland into America, the Reverend Martin Stephan. Brome was a scholarly young man, for he made it a habit to memorize several Hebrew Psalms each week. Try that sometime. In addition to that, he worked very intensely with Chemnitz Floti and virtually knew that from memory. And later on, as he had a long and distinguished career as parish pastor and also as a part-time instructor at the seminary, he edited a very highly popular edition of Luther's work, 30 volumes in all. He continued to serve in the log cabin institution until 1843, when he accepted a call to Trinity Lutheran Church in New York City. However, when Holy Cross was organized here in St. Louis, he was called as pastor in 1858 and remained there until his retirement in 1878. During that 20-year period, he regularly taught Old Testament exegesis. This is one of the giants, one of the founders of this institution. But as we take a look at him and at the centennial of his death today, we see particularly two very strong motivating factors in his life. And we do well that we look at them very briefly this morning. For we are not so much interested in recalling the life of an individual who lived in the dim, distant past, but rather that we see what made this man do the things that he did together with others. And the two that come particularly to mind are two gigantic scripture truths that we need to remind each other of again and again. The first of these is expressed in our text in the early verses. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. For Brougham and for his motivation to fell trees and to teach in a very tiny little log cabin classroom, there was one factor which surfaced again and again, namely that he was rooted and built up in Christ. And so he walked in him, because he was established in the faith as he had been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. This was a way of life for him. It was something that he saw, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which compelled him to do one thing after another in thanksgiving in order to serve his Lord who had given his all for him, and in order to bring that proclamation of forgiveness to those with whom he worked. And so he was rooted like a tree, and you have seen them, whose roots sink deeply into the edge of a cliff, and even when the storms blow over, it will not be uprooted. Or as he was walking in this faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he found this to be his way of life, the manner in which he did things day after day. And this is what changed everything, in spite of that which the garbage and the baggage that he had brought with him from his homeland. Christ was for him all the fullness in which the Godhead dwells. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. With conviction he could say that our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lord of lords and the very God of very gods. He was Brougham's Savior from sin, and he recognized the immensity and the enormity of his personal sin. And so he had the conviction that this, also this forgiveness, needed to be conveyed to others. The second major truth with which he worked with utter conviction is the fact that the scriptures are the only source of his faith and life. Listen again to these words of St. Paul. Beware lest anyone take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He learned early that it was not his own smart, nor the dependence upon a human earthly leader, a philosophy of men, or even the traditions which he had studied. Be careful, he recognized, because of the experiences he had had, lest someone will capture you with the vain philosophies and traditions and erudition, peer pressure, novelties, and even the newness. But he recognized that in Christ, there was the solid foundation as revealed in the Word. There was his power and his strength, for he recognized that in Christ, he was complete in him for a full life of service. Elsewhere, St. Paul reminds us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And Brougham and the other founders, and those who have been teaching here over the past 142 years, and those who have been listening in the classroom, have been committed to that. They have built on it are continuing to build on that. And so you and I too believe, teach, and confess. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.